everybody. This is Amber Bradley. Thanks for joining us on today's TalkLP.com podcast, where we cover everything about loss prevention. All right, it's Amber Bradley, and it's time for another TalkLP.com podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Of course, we have special guest host Dave Thompson from Wicklander Zelowski, and it is my pleasure to introduce our guest today, publisher, editor, innovator, Gus Downing. Welcome to the podcast, Gus.
Thanks, Amber. I appreciate being here. Yeah. Thanks, David.
So we wanted to kind of hit a whole bunch of questions with you. But first, of course, we have to start with congratulations, because one of the industry's most prestigious awards by the National Retail Federation was given out to you this year, the Ring of Excellence. So congratulations on that. You got to tell us, how did it feel?
Yeah, thank you. And it was very humbling. Quite frankly, it was wonderful. Humbling sometimes you don't understand the impact you're really having, you know, on a whole industry, because you're just working really hard to get through the day and do the best job you can. And sometimes you just don't understand it and you don't see it, you don't feel it. And that award kind of brings it all up to the top and kind of reminds you that you know, you one person is impacting an industry. And that old adage of one person can make a difference, you know, it's true. You know, and that's, I think right there is a big message for everybody, is that one person can make a difference. I mean, look at Melissa Mitchell with her handling the award ceremonies, and Joan Manson handling the women in LP, and Keith White handling the IOBSE and such. I mean, these executives, you know, have made an impact on an industry. And, you know, they do it because it's just what they do. It's part of who they are, and they want to make a difference. So we're real fortunate to be in positions to be able to do that. But we kind of work our way there to put ourselves in that position, so to speak. But you also have to take advantage of the opportunities that present themselves so that you can eventually get to that kind of a spot in your career. So, bottom line, but it was wonderful. And, you know, I looked at it as, insofar as what I said at when I got it, my remarks, you know, I kind of took a few weeks and kind of suffered through, you know, what am I going to say to all these folks, and to all the young LP executives and just the, you know, the whole loss prevention group. And how do I make a difference with the speech? And how do I make an impact there and really connect with them and give them a couple of good things they can take back to their companies, to their teams, and just for themselves. So, you know, that was the point of my remarks. And I thought they were fairly good. I mean, I thought they were good remarks. Yeah. There's, you know, we've gotten some great reviews on them. And I gave them a couple pieces of advice. So all in all, I think it went extremely well, and I'm humbled by it. And I'm just thrilled that they did it.
Well, congrats. It's a real honor. I think the comments were not just well received, but hopefully people take your experience and your feedback and somehow incorporate that into their career. And that kind of takes me to the next point. I really like what you mentioned in the beginning about, you know, it's humbling and you have one person can make a difference and you have this platform, but you've worked for it. And our listeners are everybody from the LP executive, but starting with the person who just entered loss prevention for their first time and they're still trying to figure out, is this a career path and what's out there? And I think it'd be neat for people to just kind of hear the, if possible, a brief overview. And that's probably difficult because of all the things you've accomplished, but how did Gus Downing become Gus Downing? What's the, where did you start and how did you get to the platform that you have now?
It's a big question. And how do I put that in a couple of paragraphs?
Right. Well, what are some of the highlights, I guess? What do you feel most accomplished with that gave you this incredible platform that you have?
Well, I mean, I started as a guard, as a security guard in a store, and in a warehouse, and an undercover operative, and a store detective. I mean, I started at the bottom rung, and I was working for a big nationwide retailer that's no longer existing. And my father happened to be the VP of security. And he said to me, he said, you know, if you're going to do this, then I'm going to put you in every facet of this business over the next few years. And you're going to learn everything there is to learn, you know, in the hourly jobs. And, you know, and that's what he did. You know, the advantage was I was able to cross-pollinate and learn a bunch of different jobs. The disadvantage was, you know, if I got in trouble at work, I got in trouble at home. So I had to wear it at home too, you know. And back then, the biggest problem was I didn't want to wear the hat because I had long hair. Because we're talking the early 70s, you know.
Get a picture of that, Gus.
Oh, yeah. So, and that was my father's pet peeve, was put the hat on, you know, and I hated the hat. I just absolutely hated it. But anyway, so I worked for him for 6-7 years. And then I went into a district job at Children's Palace, a regional job at Learner Shops, working with Kevin Valentine, actually. And then over to Gold Circle Stores for a year. And then started my own firm in 83 in executive search. And, you know, we spent 25 years as the number one headhunting firm in the country, if not North America. And that was really just a fantastic journey. I mean, we helped a lot of people. And, you know, we're fortunate enough to staff more than 33% of the top 100 retailers with their seniors. But, you know, I had been born and raised in the business, and what I merely did was I adopted a model that was investigative. So I applied investigative techniques to the recruiting model of identifying who the best players are, getting to know them, you know, hearing about where they are in their careers, in trying to make sure that any advice or suggestions we made, it fit for them. It fit for their families. It fit for the retailer, so that every avenue of it was a positive move. And I was a real nut about that. And there's a number of folks that worked with me over those years that would probably confirm that, because we had some processes set up, you know, before you could submit a resume to a company, you know, the old school stuff. And each candidate had to go through this process, and it was pretty detailed. I mean, it was a difficult process. But we took it as a very serious responsibility. I mean, when you go hire an executive, let's say they're, you know, you're paying them 75, 80 grand a year. I mean, at the end of the first year, you're going to spend $150,000, $200,000 on that executive. Training, relocation, expenses, insurance, payroll, taxes, you know, just the whole bit. Every investment you make in a human being is a significant investment. And you really got to look at it that way, you know, even at the LPM level when you're hiring store detectives. You know, is this person really a good $30,000 or $40,000 investment? And that's the way you have to approach, in my opinion, when you go to staff jobs. is the investment you're making, and is it the best investment? Now that sounds a little cold, and it can be cold, but at the end of the day, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the best thing, not just for your company, but for the person you're hiring and or the person you're not hiring. Because it may end up being that the person is just not ready for the job. So you really have to approach that hiring process, the staffing issue, as an investment type decision. And nowadays, you really have to put extra effort on diversification, on being inclusive. I mean, those are really the hot buttons in America right now, is that we aren't inclusive. You know, we don't represent, you know, the locality area or the local areas where we have our stores for the most part. I mean, we're doing a better job. The stats are moving up a little bit, and there's more awareness about it, more so than there ever has been before, which is wonderful to see. But it's something that we as an industry need to work on. Bottom line is that.
Yeah, and that's.
And then.
Sorry, Gus.
And then we come to the daily thing, which is where I think. Amber, is that where you were going to go?
Yeah, exactly. Because one of the questions we definitely wanted to ask is the biggest issues facing LP today, as you were kind of going there with the diversity thing. But to stay with kind of your background, I think the industry definitely sees you as an innovator, right? So as you saw the industry needing the recruiting function and you filling that hole and being the best at it for so long, and then really even innovating further to create the D&D and the daily and a daily newsletter and really morphing into publishing outlet, which is fantastic. So how does one become the other? I mean, especially with your investigative background, it makes sense moving into journalism, but where did that come from out of nowhere?
Yeah, it did come out of nowhere, actually. Actually, it came out of blood, sweat, and tears. And it came out of desperation, which is where the vast majority of entrepreneurship is born, out of desperation.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky enough to be on the NRF's Associate Member Advisory Council for a couple of years. And we were in Chicago visiting with Creighton Barrel and their chairman, the founder. And he was just about to retire, and we got to spend a couple hours with him. And this was early October 08, right before the stock crash. And it was coming, and most everybody knew it. And Walter Loeb, one of the senior consultants of the retail industry, I mean, a guru of the industry, asked the chairman, you know, with this recession coming, what's going to get us out of it? And the chairman responded by saying, good old American entrepreneurship. And then he looked around and winked and he said, desperation. America's best when it's desperate and you got to make it happen. A week later, you know, the stock market crashed. A week after that, Downing & Downing, the search firm, we lost 30 jobs right off the boards. Corporate America stopped hiring. February 09, there were zero jobs to fill. We had no business, zero business. I'm in my office on a Sunday in February, absolute blizzard outside, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? And it dawned on me, I'm going to write my way out of it. Bottom, that's literally what I said to myself. I'm going to write my way out of it. And I came up with the daily. And a couple of my friends really liked the idea. So for a year, I did it under the radar. And I had a couple of folks that were very supportive of us in the beginning and kept us alive, so to speak. And in March 2010, we rolled it out public. And the bottom line was, is, we have been collecting data, information about this industry for 25 years. Organizational structures, careers, candidates, executives, salary surveys. We have been doing a lot of the HR stuff for the industry. So we had all this data. And my thought was, let's put a spigot on it. Let's turn it into a daily and just keep everybody up to date with what's going on out there with the news. So I used the Smart Brief as my model. I used the New York Times as my model. And I mean, obviously those are the two best in the business, what they do, you know, and off we went. We just created. And I love creating stuff. I mean, I love creating stuff. That's one of my knacks, is just doing that, you know. It's fun. And I love that adrenaline rush in the morning when you get a great story coming and you know, nobody else has it out there. Or it hasn't hit the industry yet. And we have the ability to kind of mold it in a way that makes the most sense for all of the LP folks out there, much more so than the typical article, which, you know, is 700 words, then you have to read like 400 before you get the point. You know, I put the point up top, right up there.
Gus, I have to say that I know the daily, even before my time at WZ, but just being in the field, it's a part of my day. It's kind of in the schedule, in the routine. And I would have to guess many LP professionals, if it's not already, it should be part of their daily schedule. I mean, it's a great news source and a great way to network, because you see what other leaders and companies are doing. And I also have to say, you made a comment that resonated with me when you said, you know, that desperation kind of fueled the entrepreneurship in you. And I think to the entry level, or even I guess the LP executive, the way that should resonate is add value to your role as much as you can. And even if it's, you know, we get executives now taking on total risk and taking on risk management and insurance, and add value to your role to, you know, to feel that you should be an entrepreneur in your own mindset, I guess, in the business. But I want to take what you just said, and as you talked about kind of where the industry was and as bringing the news to everybody, which kind of is a good transition to, I'll consider you the expert on this so that we can look at historical LP and the data you collected. If you could predict, what does LP look like? What's the D&D Daily going to be reporting on in 5 years? What's LP look like at that time?
That's a difficult question. Number one, change is slow. Although it's fast, it's really slow. The thing that's become so fast is the technology and the amount of information flowing. You know, it's really the information and the data that's managing us now, as opposed to us managing it. And it used to be us managing it, wishing that we had a lot more of it. Now we've got so much of it, we're over data, overdated. You know, we can't use it all.
Right.
We're at that point. And that's a real problem. That's a real issue. You know, getting to the stuff that can make a difference now and not getting lost in a lot of it. But what do we look like in 5 years? It's going to depend a lot on the individual retailer and where they are on the curve, in the Omni world, where they are with merging the online and the brick and mortar together, you know, and how far they can take it. That's really what's going to drive our industry to change. And we will stay up with that, depending on the independent retailer. Now, if a retailer is just so darn good and they don't need to, then I would assume that LP group will probably not evolve as much as the other group will. But it's going to be, we're going to be much more tech savvy, even down to the store detective. They're going to be much more tech savvy. I mean, everything is, you know, real time data now. I mean, I think one of the biggest pieces that's changing the industry right now is facial recognition. I mean, that to me is one of the biggest pieces or biggest, you know, addition to our toolkit that we've had since EAS came out and CCTVs. I mean, obviously video analytics, but facial recognition is what plugs it all in.
Right.
You know, John Doe just came in, you know, and they, you know, his girlfriend activated the sensors on her smartphone so she could get the coupons. And you know him to be a shoplifter or an ORC guy or, you know, whatever. I mean, that to me is the epitome of controlling your store. It doesn't mean that person's going to steal. It doesn't mean that person is a bad person. It merely means is you've identified a high-risk situation, and you're able to monitor it.
And
you
so,
know, how the government deals with that, legislation, excuse me, in you know, their number one concern about the whole thing is collective sharing. I mean, with facial recognition, that's their number one concern, but I'll let it go. But Amber, go ahead.
So in thinking about your comments about the tech savvy, right? I mean, if you're a loss prevention person listening to this and you kind of hear what, you know, is inevitable, and a great point too, that it really will depend on where retailers are with the omnichannel and the whole BOPIS and BOPIS and all of that good stuff, right? Buy it online, pick it up, and having the LP executive and all the way down the chain having to understand and morph with the tech times. So would it be your advice to the LP professional to really continue to learn and grow and educate themselves on all of this technology? And clearly the most important thing would be subscribe to the daily, right? Because they can then keep up to date on what news is happening. But what other items would you have to say to that LP professional to make sure they're doing every day? Read the daily, and I don't know if you have specific events or other things in mind that you would say, you know, if I was you, I would definitely do this to make sure you're in the game in years to come.
Well, you know, something that I blew off when I was a young person that I wish I hadn't, that I now regret. And that is, at a young age, even when you're an LPM and a store detective, get involved in your local association networking and events, and broaden your knowledge of people. You know, get out of your box. And go to the as-is chapter meeting. Go to, you know, certified fraud examiners, you know, WZs in interviewer associations. I mean, get involved in the other associations outside of your company, but maybe, you know, being that you're young and, you know, you may not have the funds available and your company may not be paying for it, you can keep it local. But spread your wings. Go meet people in the industry. and learn from them. You know, go to luncheons with them, share some information with them. Be careful, you know, with what you share. I mean, make sure your bosses are aware of it and you get authorization to do so, and, you know, be careful and make, here's a huge point. You know, when you are at these events, you are representing your company, not just you. Make sure you remember that and you take that seriously. And what I mean by that is don't drink too much. You know, you don't have to dress up, but look good. Carry yourself well. Be polite. Be a gentleman. You know, and stay away from the good old boy stuff. Just stay away from it. But more importantly, get involved outside, number one. Number two, I would take a couple of courses in IT security at the local college. Not that I would go get a four-year degree in it. Quite frankly, I probably would now if I was starting it all over. But, you know, take a course or two on it. Go learn some of the basics. And you know, get yourself acclimated with that. Because, you know, that's going to be the person that you're going to be working hand in hand with on a lot of these cases. I mean, the credit cards, the skimmers, the gift card scams, all of this stuff starts on the net. Or it ends up on the net. And you need to be able to have a good relationship with those folks in that pyramid, because one day the two pyramids may be one and the same. I think they will be, eventually, not in the next five, but certainly in the next 15, they will be, because real-time identification is going to push it to such an extent that it has to be one and the same. To be truly cost-effective.
I think the point that you made about how you present yourself at a meeting or at a chapter meeting or whatever, I want to just repeat that, because I think a lot of people, that's important. I mean, and you know that from your career and from especially your world, but your reputation goes above and beyond just your results. You know, it's how do you act day to day in your environment and at these meetings. And the other thing, because I know you don't want to probably plug yourself, so I'm going to do it for you. I think on the daily is not just the news, but the other thing that people forget, and this is selfish because as an interviewer, you need to be up to date on technology. And one of the easiest ways that I've stayed up to date is on things like the daily or any LP website or whatever, there's ads. And normally people, you skim through an ad, but I would challenge listeners to click on the solution provider, like a camera company or facial recognition, even if you're not going to buy it, but to learn about it, and you can speak to that technology. So I think that's good. So I wanted to plug that, because that's important. And then for listeners to connect with you. I know you've got a good LinkedIn presence and you post a lot of your content and your news, but I think you could serve as a good mentor for people out there. So I would recommend listeners to, you know, connect with Gus on LinkedIn and definitely the daily to stay in touch. And then I'll pass to Amber if she had anything else to add to that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, certainly echoing all of these really good tidbits for our listeners today. I mean, I think I could definitely point to a few points in my career where it's like, probably should have done a little bit differently there if it was an older me. So Gus, definitely some awesome tidbits for our folks listening on our Talk LP podcast. And yeah, so again, we really appreciate you coming on with us today. And again, congratulations so much on the Ring of Excellence. Do you have any final words, any parting words for our audience?
Yeah, I do. I mean, getting back to what David was just talking about, and I've been saying this for years, you know, it's not as much what you say or do today as it is what they believe they heard or saw of you in 6 months? Because that's what will make a difference.
Yeah, that's so true.
Just think about that a bit, and that gets to the core of it. Acting professional, being professional, looking professional, you know, understanding yourself, getting the lay of the room, whatever room you walk into, you know, and represent your employer well, and they will represent you well, for the most part.
Well said.
Yeah, that's very well said, for sure. So if you haven't subscribed, Google D&D Daily or connect with them on Twitter, D&D Daily. And also, you know, we've got several broadcast sessions coming up. I mean, we didn't even talk about your broadcast career, so we should have you back and talk about, you know, maybe the big show coming up or Interact Protect or any of
sure,
the
awesome
things. Yeah. So thanks again, Gus, for joining us on TalkLP.com. And thank you for listening. And don't forget to subscribe for the unscripted side of LP. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk at you soon.